City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Queer Cast show number 365. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Steven Rader.
Steven Rader downtown. Amy Matheny uptown.
Downtown. I'm Petula Clark.
And let us just say that podcasting, queer casting, is the way to go because I am enraged and yet I don't know any of the details because you only get so much details from a text. But many of you who do the wretched F word, and no, I don't mean fuck, I mean Facebook.
Oh!
And hopefully you are friends of Deb Pierce,
yes,
our co-host.
Horrible.
In Toronto. She was fired this week, along with the entire morning show team and the afternoon team. They were all let go from Proud FM. All four of them in one fell swoop. It's a big deal. It's a big deal I guess there's a lot of outrage in the Facebook world. I'm not of the Facebook world. There's a lot of outrage just in the Edgewater Andersonville area of Chicago.
Hello.
Because that's where I live.
Well, she's just a good, I mean, come on. It's Deb. I mean, just from spending time with her in person, just from talking to her. I mean, this is one of the most genuine, sweetest, kindest, most loving, open people you've ever met in your life.
Yeah,
and a joy to be around.
And
joy.
A really hard worker. And, you know, I mean, it's obviously a dream job to get paid to talk for people like...
But it ain't as easy as it sounds. I mean, here we are, two schmucks with a fucking podcast. But, I mean, it ain't as easy as it sounds with what she does every single day.
Every single morning, waking up at 4 a.m. to do morning drive show for 4 or 5
Gay
hours.
Morning drive. What is that?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
What does that even entail?
That's actually when the guys are coming home.
Really?
What that is.
Two queens of the parkway over here. My God. I can't even think about what that would be.
So, folks, if you...
It's something that I didn't read a lot of the details, but, I mean, I know that they are all sticking together wanting a meeting with the brass.
They had requested a meeting with the... the owners or the managers or whoever ran the station. And instead of being given a meeting, the four of them were fired. And it's extremely unusual move,
horrible.
Obviously, in one, swift blow to fire your afternoon drive time and your morning show drive time teams, like entirely. Those are your most popular two slots. And they're going to have the biggest ratings. Their program director is not commenting on it, but it is quite the buzz in Toronto. I do know now if you you can go to Deb Pierce, D-E-B-P-E-A-R-C-E, Deb Pierce's Facebook page, and I think she has posted, from what I've heard, and like I said, I've not seen any of this, so I may be giving false advertising, but she has posted ways in which people can contact the program manager in the station, which I know our editor of our podcast, Di, has sent a number of letters, and you know, I who knows? I mean, they're saying the program, the station is saying, well, we're not going to talk about this matter. And I think the four of them are going, we're not? Why are we not going to talk about it? You've already fired us. Like, what can you do? But it's a sad, sad day. I don't even know if these people who run this gay radio station in Toronto are even gay. And not that they need to be, but I'm concerned that, you know.
Well, come on. I mean, maybe that sounds a little strange that they shouldn't be, but by God, come on.
Yeah.
There should be at least a good idea. I mean, you know as well as I do. I did a play here in town years ago, at a wonderful theater that supports new work, and it was a play about two gay men in the 30s, and the other actor was straight, and the playwright was straight, and the director was straight, and the design team was straight, and everyone else in the company was straight, and I was gay, doing a gay play, and I went... Mm-hmm. And they would ask, well, what do you think about this? Well, speaking for my people as a whole, you know, like, how am I representative of the entire homosexual clan? And it's a play about us. And I think a lot of times that happens. I really think so. A lot of times it happens.
Yeah.
Put a face on it and call it a day.
Yeah.
So you may be up the right thing. Of course, we're just, you know, pontificating and speculating on who the hell knows.
Yeah,
that's what we're here for. We're Southerners. We're supposed to take gossip and spread it around. That's our job.
Well,
it's sad for him.
There is a story there, and I don't know what it is, but that is highly unusual.
Ugh, bless her heart.
And I guess, you know, there will be more, I think. More would come out of this. And supposedly they're sitting down with an interview, the four of them who were fired, and it wasn't just Deb. You know, it was Deb and Patrick, who was her co-host, and then Sean and Mark, who were the afternoon team. So it's a sad, sad day. And so everybody give Deb your love and thoughts. And, you know, and we'll get her on here in the next week or so to try to tell us what's going on. But my dial
to come in town soon.
My dial is not set on Proud FM anymore.
Mm-mm.
When I could listen live, you know, on the interwebs.
bless
I don't
heart.
Do that anymore. Hey, you know, but we are still bringing you the G, the L, the B, the T, and the Q, and we love our allies. And today we're going to be sitting down and talking with Jim Pickett. He is you know, known as a part of the AIDS Foundation, but also is in charge of lifelube.org, which is a website that really caters to gay men's health and sexuality, and everything that includes, from, you know, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual health. And they have these forums, and their next one is coming up, where they can actually be more than just a website for you to get information or ask questions and get responses. They come out into the community and they have these events, and their next one is happening this month. The topic is Love in the Age of Grindr, and a time when we can hook up on an iPhone app. How are gay men having relationships? What do they want out of relationships? I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation. And as a lesbian, I kind of want to be a fly on the wall, Stephen. I mean, what do you think? Do you think gay men are more or less intimate these days?
I heard someone say the other day, I have no idea where this was, but somebody said, and it was a younger person, because I'm now, you know, the age of Elaine Stritch. but he was saying, actually it was in someone's blog. That was it. And he and this other person were having a conversation back and forth in the posting about that he thought that the internet had brought about an entirely new and crazed sense of hooking up. It was happening randomly and crazily and fast, and that it was different than ever before. And I thought, you know, no, it's not.
It's not
different. It's this. I think it's the same exact way But, you know, it's like saying, okay, we're going to go out. We need to find somebody that I want to hook up with. Do I use Grindr or do I put a red hanky in my left pocket? I'm sorry. That's what I think it is. I think that we have different techniques to go out and do things and find our way. But I didn't know what Grindr was until about 3 weeks ago. And this guy up at the Glenwood was waiting around and having a drink. And he's pulling on his iPhone and we started chatting. And he showed me all about it. And I was transfixed. I was like, don't make me buy an iPhone,
damn it. What does this application do?
I mean, you can sort of be logged in. This is what I know of it. Be logged in, and you can see that there's a person, this person, their picture, and they're 100 feet away, 300 feet away, 600 feet away, whatever. You can see where all these members are around you, near you. It's all this sort of tracking via GPS kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. Now, I don't know how much of the hooking up is actually going on with that. Who knows? Probably a lot. But
Is online hooking up considered actually having sex?
As far as it just being cyber?
Yeah.
I think everybody, I mean, I would answer that question by saying that my brother once told me a few years ago that he had not had sex in a while and was sort of just kvetching about it. And 5 minutes later in the conversation talked about someone that he had went home with and they blew each other. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on. And that was last week? Yeah. But that's not sex? Well, no. So when did the mouth stop becoming a hole? I forgot.
There you go. But it's interesting, right? Because you think that it's always been there. But how I see, coming from the South like you, and
well,
a number of the gay men that I know who don't feel like they can be free and live out in some of the smaller areas of the South that I know, maybe not the major cities like Memphis, Nashville, but some of the smaller little towns. And I think they actually feel in this day and age like they have community and
yeah,
they can meet people, you know. I mean, definitely for us in Chicago, I say us as though I'm a gay man. And even though I am practically a gay man trapped in a lesbian's
you
body,
are.
I just like pussy and I don't like men that much. I don't like hairy balls that much. Did I say that? I did.
But if you want someone to eat, you have to provide them with a clean plate. Shave them.
There you
go. That's all I'm saying.
Guys didn't know that
mean,
back, way back when I was, you know. But I think, you know, wow, guys and girls can actually have community who are more closeted.
Mm-hmm.
But does it take away the fact of having ever anything that is tactile, that is a relationship with skin on it, so to speak?
Oh, I think they're having a lot of tactile relationships. I think the Grindr is a way to have these two people hook up.
Okay.
I do think that.
Right.
I mean, just like Manhunt is just like, I mean, if you want any idea of what gay men are like in the world versus what everyone else is like in the world,
okay,
log on to Craigslist. Go to the, you know, the
men seeking men
seeking women. Go there first. Men seeking women, women seeking men, women seeking women. Entree right in. You don't even have to have a any kind of a warning screen or nothing. Go to men seeking men, a warning screen.
Mm-hmm.
And where it's like women seeking men seeking women, looking for someone to meet up with and talk to, long walks, and then you go to men seeking men, you know. Ass master looking for, you know, Randall. It's crazy funny, crazy funny that we just go right for the money.
Yeah.
We go
You know, and it's you know, our lovely co-host who was on last week, Coleman Domingo, you know, he's on the Big Gay Sketch Show and he plays Maya Angelou reading, you know, the Craigslist men seeking men, you know. And it's funny because he actually met his long-term boyfriend on Craigslist.
Oh, my God!
And they've been together as long as Kelly and I have been. But
God.
Yeah, it's quite funny. But, you know, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation. But I know that, you know, you and I've talked about over the years, you know, guys you might meet online or, you know, and I'm just so, and all my gay male friends, you know, talk to me about guys they meet or how fluid they are with kind of live porn.
It's amazing to me how much of that community there is. It's amazing to me how many of your friends you run into. It's amazing to me that when you get out of that whole yin of it, and when you get off of Manhunt for a while, mm-hmm. I don't mean get off, I mean get off.
Yeah. Then log off.
And then you wait a year or something, and you're like, well, I'll go on or whatever. And you get a small little membership and walk back in, and you go, it's the same fucking people.
Mm.
It's like a small town gay bar. Mm. It's the same fucking people.
Interesting.
You know, and it's fine, but it is a whole culture within itself, and it's going to go on. It's going to go down. And of course, you know, young gay men think they invented it, and I thought I invented it, and I didn't. And it's going to be the same old, same old. Mm. It's interesting that it is changing somewhat in that. And with as our fight for marriage equality sort of goes forward, it's mm-hmm. gay men and the whole gay culture is changing. But mm-hmm. you know, as we've seen, you get a wonderful iPhone. It can do this and this and this and this. We're going to use it to hook up. Mm-hmm. You know, it could grate cheese for you possibly, but by God, we're going to find a way to get sex out of this. And here's
mm-hmm.
how.
Interesting. Well, it's going to be an interesting conversation. You and I have kind of started it. We're the fluffer course. Then Jim and I are going to talk about it a little bit more, and hopefully you'll show up at the event sponsored by Life Lube coming up here in May. Plus, there's so much stuff going on in the news. Kirk Williamson and I'll be bringing you that. This week we're going to be traveling to SoFo as the Windy City Gay Idol search continues this Thursday, the 13th of May.
And you know, our winner last year was from SoFo.
That's exactly right. Kelly was from SoFo. It's always a great night. And then what else is going on in the theater world? So, so much going on. We're going to take you to the, tell you what's going on in the theater scene right now. And back with Jim Pickett talking about Love in the Age of Grindr.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Huh. Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. In Maryland, 18-year-olds Sharif Tao Lancaster and Alante Saunders have been charged with the murder of Washington, D.C. principal Brian Betts, who met the suspects on a phone sex line hours before he was killed. Montgomery County authorities believe that robbery was the primary reason behind the killing. Betts was found dead in his home April 15th after he did not show up for work at Shaw Middle School at Garnet-Patterson.
Former Utah State Representative Christine Johnson, an out lesbian, will become executive director of South Carolina Equality, an LGBT rights group. Johnson, age 41, had represented Salt Lake City and Park City in Utah's legislature.
Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick has signed an anti-bullying bill. The measure establishes new rules for reporting bullying and provides training for all adults who work at schools.
Soul Force, an organization that is working to end the religious and political oppression of LGBTQ people, has a new executive director, the Reverend Cindy Love. Love previously served as the executive director of the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches.
Constance McMillan, the Mississippi high school student who was in the middle of a prom-related controversy because she wanted to bring her girlfriend and the school board refused, has been named one of the grand marshals of New York's 41st annual LGBT Pride March. The parade takes place on June 27th.
More than 300 gay and lesbian veterans and their straight allies from across the country have registered to go to Washington, D.C. to urge Congress to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell on May 10th and 11th, which is National Veterans Lobby Day.
In California, the West Hollywood City Council has voted to boycott Arizona in light of that state's controversial immigration reform law. The boycott includes a suspension of official travel to Arizona and a review of city contracts with Arizona.
Oakland, California's City Council has voted to remove the city's 130-year-old ban on cross-dressing. Yes, during the 19th century, Oakland made it illegal for anyone to don the attire of a person of the opposite sex. A final vote on killing the ordinance will take place May 18th.
In Texas, trans woman Sabrina Hill married her girlfriend in San Antonio after being denied a marriage license in El Paso. Hill, 60, was allowed to marry Teresa T. Burr because Hill was listed as male on her birth certificate. Texas law defines marriage as being between one man and one woman. El Paso County Attorney Joanne Bernal has now asked Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott for clarification of the marriage law.
In an ESPN poll of Major League Baseball players, players were asked how they would react to having a gay teammate. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being no big deal and 10 being a really big deal, the average was 5.1.
In world news, Lithuania's Baltic Pride has been canceled after officials said they could not guarantee the participants' safety. Although police said that hundreds of marchers would be protected, the Lithuanian Attorney General's office said that anti-gay groups could injure them. Lithuania's president criticized the decision, saying that she was surprised by the development. She also confirmed the constitutional right to peaceful assembly.
Argentina's House of Deputies has passed a marriage equality bill by a vote of 125 to 109. If it passes the upper house, the measure will go to President Cristina Fernandez, who has promised to sign it. If it passes, Argentina will be the first Latin American country to legalize same-sex marriage. 5 same-sex couples have already wedded in Argentina, but judges had to grant them permission to do so.
In Vancouver, gay basher Michael Candola was sentenced to 12 months in jail. In 2008, Candola shouted anti-gay slurs while attacking Jordan Smith, knocking the victim unconscious. Candola was also sentenced to a year's probation and was banned from approaching Smith, Smith's boyfriend, or the area where the crime occurred.
In England, street preacher Dale McAlpine was arrested for loudly making anti-gay statements in public. McAlpine claimed that he was quietly having a conversation with a woman and mentioned his conclusion that the Bible condemns homosexuality. Gay police officer Sam Adams was among the first on the scene and spoke with McAlpine, who had been warned before about his speech. However, it was other officers who eventually arrested the minister, charging him with violating an anti-hooliganism law.
In entertainment news, actress Lynn Redgrave, the daughter of Sir Michael Redgrave and sister of Vanessa Redgrave and aunt of Natasha Richardson, has passed away at the age of 67 after a long battle with cancer. Among Lynn Redgrave's movies are Gods and Monsters, Georgie Girl, and Kinsey.
Openly gay performers Sean Hayes and Levi Kreis have scored Tony nominations for respectively Promises, Promises and Million Dollar Quartet. The revival of La Cage aux Folles tied the musical Fella, helmed by out choreographer director Bill T. Jones, with 11 nominations. And Broadway legends Angela Lansbury and Barbara Cook are both nominated for Best Featured Actress in a Musical. The 64th Annual Tony Awards ceremony will air June 13th on CBS.
Officials in Egypt have banned Sir Elton John from playing there later this month because of comments he made about Jesus being gay. John was to perform on May 18th.
In her memoir, Like Me, newly out country singer Shelley Wright wrote that country star John Rich of the country duo Big and Rich asked her a decade ago if she were gay. Incidentally, Wright's response back then was no.
And Lindsay Lohan will portray the late porn star Linda Lovelace in the movie Inferno. Lovelace, who died in a car accident almost 2 decades ago at the age of 53, starred in the 1972 X-rated movie Deep Throat before undergoing a religious awakening and crusading against porn. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey guys, this is Elizabeth Kina, and you're on the Windy City Queercast. Have a good one.
You want to learn to play tennis in no time? Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks with sessions beginning June 5th. During Tennis in No Time, participants will learn the basics, including the forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment costs $115 and includes a three-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, two social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information on Tennis in No Time, visit midtown.com/Chicago.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 10th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Chicago Opera Theater closes their 2010 season with Jake Heggie's Three Decembers at the Harris Theater in Millennium Park. A Broadway diva faces dark family secrets with her two adult children facing challenges of their own. See the legendary Frederica von Stade in her final Chicago performances only through May 16th. And don't miss Out to the Opera May 14th. Premium seats and a post-show party with Frederica herself. For tickets, go to chicagooperatheater.org.
See the legendary Liza Minnelli in a rare one-night-only concert event Sunday, June 6th at the Chicago Theater. The Tony, Emmy, Grammy, and Academy Award-winning Liza Minnelli will dazzle audiences with a glamorous evening of show-stopping hits and songs from her upcoming new CD. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Lifeline Theater concludes its 27th main stage season with a world premiere adaptation of Neil Gaiman's best-selling novel Neverwhere. Running Thursday through Sunday, all the way through June 20th. For more information, visit lifelinetheater.com.
Jane M. Sachs, the Ellen Stone Belich Institute for Study of Women and Gender at Columbia, and About Face Theater present Sweet Tea, Black Gay Men of the South. Dynamic author and performer E. Patrick Johnson inhabits the interviewees from his book about Black gay Southern life. Sweet Tea runs through May 29th at the Viaduct Theater, 3111 Northwestern Avenue. Visit viaducttheater.com.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
So good to have Jim Pickett back on the Queercast to talk to us a little bit about gay men and gay men's health. He is here to talk about Life Lube's new forum. And Life Lube is a website, a resource to keep gay men healthy and sexy. And they have a new forum on May 19th called Love in the Age of Grindr, Gay Men and Hooking Up, Shacking Up, Relationships and Intimacy. I think we could talk a week about all those topics. So it's great to have Jim here with us just to start and pique your interest around the big conversation that'll happen on May 19th. Hey, Jim, how are you?
How are you, Amy? I'm great.
Now, look, I'm a lesbian, and I could talk about gay men hooking up, shacking up, relationships and intimacy almost entirely around how that potentially is different than us as gay women or lesbians.
Right.
So it's a big topic and a big exciting forum that I think a lot of people would like to put their two cents in on and also get some, you know, get some information about. But first, let's just talk about how these forums come about and what are the objectives of Life Lube and what is LifeLube.org all about?
Okay, so really quick, Life Lube, the website and the blog, are part of a broader project, a gay men's health project that's a collaboration between the Center in Halstead, Howard Brown Health Center, Test Positive Aware Network, and my organization, AIDS Foundation of Chicago. So the blog and the website are part of our online space and identity. And then we host these community forums in the real world several times a year. I believe this will be our 10th over the last couple of years. We try to do them every quarter. And the idea is to get a bunch of men and allies, lesbians are welcome, together to talk about various issues that are of interest to gay men in terms of their love lives, sex lives, physical health. So we've covered a number of topics. We've talked about alcohol and the LGBT community. We had a really popular forum on anal health and anal sex, which was very popular. We've talked about things around, you know, balancing risk and pleasure in terms of our sexual lives, all kinds of stuff. So this one coming up, we wanted to explore a little more deeply all the different ways that we are in relationships and have connection and intimacy. Men are really hungry for this kind of discussion. Doesn't seem to happen a lot. So we're presenting this in a few weeks to try to continue and help the conversation continue forward.
Well, so what I hear is that you not only have this resource that people can go to any time of day or any day of the week, which is the website lifelube.org. And obviously your ad campaign was GLAAD Award nominated and garnered a lot of attention over the past years. So people have that resource all the time. But then there's also this piece that's more tactile where people can actually be in face-to-face conversation. Is that right? Why you have these forums, so people can see that they're really not alone and meet other folks to talk about these topics?
Right on. That's exactly it. More and more of us are living a huge amount of our time online, and we have online places to socialize and to meet and connect and hook up and learn about things. And that's all great, but there is an important aspect of our lives that happens in the here and now in the real world. And so while we wanted to create community and a place for community online, there's a very strong need to have that connect to, that, like you said, that tactile real life. And have there's nothing like having a discussion in a room with other people all at, you know, the same moment in time. A lot different discussion when you're on a chat board or something. So they're both good and they're both needed.
What do you think, how has technology changed gay men's relationships and gay men's sexuality?
Well, that's part of what we're going to be trying to unpack in this forum. I mean, first of all, we want to explore all the different ways gay men do hook up and have relationships and intimacy. There's a lot of different ways, and we're not always, I think as gay men, we're not always clear what we really want and what we have is what we really want. And so we want to discuss open relationships, monogamous relationships, being happily single, how to figure out exactly what you want in there, how to communicate that. Now, in terms of the technology piece, I think it's just made it more challenging for all of us because now we have things like Grindr, which is an app, an application for your iPhone, that you can basically hook up with people in real time, like right now. It's faster than even, you know, dialing it in on Manhunt on the internet. And so in this age where we can connect instantly and rapidly and kind of fulfill our immediate desires very quickly, how does that affect the relationships we're in, the relationships maybe we want to be in? How does this affect us if we want to sort of, if we're happy being single, how does all this technology impact that? I don't know that I have the answers. It's more about lots of questions and getting men to share their thoughts about it. I think And I'll finish on this moment or this point. It's not clear cut. I mean, certainly having all this new access to great and quick communication is a wonderful thing. And it connects people who would otherwise not be connected. And people who might feel isolated and lonely have a way to meet each other. And that's great. There's a lot of really, really great things. The other side is that all of this sort of instant connection, the instant ways to fulfill your desires can also make it more complicated in terms of figuring out what we really want. I mean, do you really want to like hook up with someone different every day or twice a day? Is that really working for you? If it is, great. But if it's sort of not what's working for you and you're just sort of doing it because it's easy and it doesn't let, you know, it doesn't allow, just because it's easy and quick and simple, are you missing something more that you want to have? Would you rather have something that's more stable? So I think we're going to try to weave in and out of that. But the overall picture is really how we connect and how we can have the connections we want and how we can maintain them over time.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, there's this stereotype or idea out there that gay men just want sex. They don't really want relationships. They don't really want love. And yet I know many men who are like, well, I have this thing with this guy and he lives, you know, the guy I'm talking to lives in Chicago and the other guy lives in North Dakota. I mean, you know, and they've right. never met and I'm like, you have a what with this person? Like doesn't even compute in my brain. I mean, is that something that will be explored about, you know, what is this relating to people? You know, is it real? Is it as real as face-to-face relating to another individual?
Yeah, and I think that's really up to the individual who's in that position to determine. I just think about people who are like living in isolated areas, like a gay guy maybe in North Dakota and another guy in Wyoming. And if they meet online, that can be a very powerful relationship, whether they ever actually meet in person or not. They've connected, they've reached out. Mm-hmm. I think it really depends on the person. There's also a real need for people to be together in the here and now. And I think finding a balance between our online world, which again, are increasingly, we can do a lot. We are on Facebook, we're on hookup sites, we're on all these different places where we're engaging, connecting, having conversations. Which is great, but, you know, I think the real world piece is important, too. Mm-hmm. And so the stereotype about gay men, you know, it's interesting. We ask men at every one of our forums what they want to talk about, what they're interested in. And almost to the T, every time, relationships comes up number one. Mm. So there's a void between stereotypes and what's really real and what people really want. And I think gay men want to connect. Now, whether that's a relationship or not, and how you define that relationship, again, is individual. But there's lots of ways, and there's a lot of men who are in various forms of open and monogamous relationships, friends with benefits, other creative ways that we're seeking intimacy and being connected to people. And that's really where we want to go, is to go in through all of that and how do you know what you want? How are you going about getting what it is you want? Are you satisfied having a life that's predominantly online, or are you satisfied with being single? Are you satisfied in a monogamous relationship? Is this really what you wanted? Mm-hmm. I want to get into that. I think we often don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. And because of the stereotypes, we also kind of feed that to ourselves. Well, you know, we're just about sex and rock and roll and all the good times.
Yeah.
And finally, I'll say, you know, you can have great sex and be in a relationship. I mean, there's monogamous relationships with great sex. There's relationships that are open and honest and have also great sex within and outside the relationship. You can definitely blend all of this stuff together. You can be single and have great sex. You can be single and not having great sex. You know, we want to figure all this stuff out. And kind of blow away some of the stereotypes and just get, you know, just get in there and talk about this stuff.
Well, it's interesting because I think, and you know, this is totally my opinion, but I think the GLBT community and their fluidity and openness about sexuality and creatively living a sexual life has done a lot for the straight community in seeing options. And, you know, I believe that technology has allowed more creativity in that area and more openness of what's available and what's out there, whether that be sexual fluidity or, as you're describing, you know, open relationships or, you know, meeting somebody and hooking up online. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I definitely think we're at the vanguard. I mean, we're certainly at the vanguard of reconfiguring how relationships can be. And, you know, there's studies that show that there is no difference in satisfaction between a long-term monogamous relationship, gay relationship, or a long-term relationship that's open. That the point is that are people honest with each other? Are they happy? Are they communicating with each other, their needs, their wants, their desires, their vulnerabilities? The key is communication. So, and I think, because we have broken sort of that construct, that marriage, I mean, even now, you know, we have all this discussion about marriage. And marriage does not have to mean 100% monogamy for everyone who's in that. Now, if you want that, great.
Right.
Go for it. If you and your partner are into that, that's wonderful. But, it, you know, for gay men, the data and the studies show that most gay men's relationships after 5 years do open up to some degree. There's all kinds of different ways those are configured. There's all different ways those are defined and different boundaries. But they do that. And in those relationships, many of them go on for a very, 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 very long time. And it's sort of interesting that we haven't heard about the open aspect to our relationships during this whole marriage debate. I'm sure because our enemies could take this and turn it into something nasty, you know, go figure. But in fact, it's a strength we have. And when you have a relationship that you are negotiating and you're communicating in and being really honest about, whatever the nature of that relationship is, that's a healthy relationship.
Right. And in that tradition of not talking about it and suppressing feelings that I think perhaps are, you know, the generations before us, the traditional hetero relationships before us set up a dichotomy of something that I think gay and straight, this generation doesn't want, you know,
we kind of
demand more. We want to have a sexually healthy, fulfilled, communicative relationship, even if it is trying to find out how to do that monogamously with our partner or what the options are around that. And I think the earlier generations, you know, there was so much stuffing. There was such a lack of communication, probably in heterosexual relationships, such a definition of roles within the relationship, which we don't even have to have in GLBT relationship. I mean, even the concept of what are our roles. Not that some GLBT couples don't fall into very clear-cut traditional roles, but most of us don't, right? I mean,
And I think the point is that we have, I think as gay people, we've been on the outside and we have options. You know, if me and my partner want to fall into really traditional roles, that's our choice. Like we can do that. And we can also completely shatter that and do our own thing. And so, you know, my partner and I can get married and that marriage may not, you know, include the picket fence.
Right.
Although my name is Picket, so we might, you know, we can debate the fence on that. Or, you know, the 2.5 children or monogamy.
Right.
And maybe, it's all about choices and being honest about those choices and figuring that out. And when you layer technology onto all of this, it's just, it makes it, again, it complicates things and it also can improve things. For instance, you know, we haven't really mentioned this yet, but in terms of having outside or sexual needs fulfilled, in the context of a relationship, I mean, you know, you can have a lot of great sex without ever leaving home, you know, with yourself and your favorite website or your webcam or whatever. That sex is safe. It's quite safe. And it may be a way that your relationship is open to an extent, that you, you know, you have some of your needs and fantasies fulfilled through some technological thing online.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. But, you know, and it's complicated, as I've said, and so there's, it's what you make of it. It's a tool. The tool can be used for harm,
mm-hmm.
or it can be used for good,
mm-hmm.
Or it can do both, and you have to kind of figure out what works for you in terms of the technology piece.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's great is that we're asking the questions, because the questions are out there, you know? I mean, the world is continuing to open up. And as GLBT people, I think we're finding our place in that, which is an ever-changing barometer. And,
mm-hmm.
And you know, we have to ask the questions to keep ourselves current and happy and healthy. It is a part of health, right? To have a check-in, to have a check-up, to see where we are, to see if everything's in balance. And part of that is going to be our sexuality and our sexual life. And, do you think gay men are happier now than they were 10 years ago?
Wow. I don't know. I mean, I think that's a really tough question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at sort of studies just generally, I think we live in an age, because of the connection to communication all the time,
mm-hmm.
not just GLBT people, but more and more people may feel isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Even while we're so connected, we're isolated
mm.
because we're online and we're on our computer, but we're really not engaging. And even in our real lives, you walk out and you see people walking down the street with their BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the beach with a laptop. I mean, they're in these places where they're not engaging. They're in a public place, but they're still completely connected to technology.
Yeah.
So I think on one hand, that has isolated us. While it has the ability to connect us,
mm-hmm.
it also has the ability to take us away from what's actually happening in our real world. And
mm-hmm.
and I don't see that as just a gay or LGBT. I think this is a human thing.
Right.
This is what we're all confronting.
Mm-hmm.
This very powerful force and how to manage that in our lives. And I know for me as a person, I work a lot and I'm connected to my BlackBerry, and I can easily find myself, you know, in a situation where I shouldn't be checking my BlackBerry, and I'm on it, or I'm in a public place, and why aren't I soaking it up and enjoying watching people and having my coffee or whatever, instead of, like, you know, Facebooking people.
Right.
Like, why am I doing that?
Right.
So I've had to put a check on myself. So I, you know, make sure that there's a sort of a time and place for Facebook or hooking up online.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time to just be out in the world and, like, experiencing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's just, are we happier? I mean, in terms of progress, you know, we've made progress in terms of some rights issues and et cetera. We're moving forward. So that's a barometer, but it's always so complicated. So
yeah.
I think it's almost an individual,
yeah.
more of an individual type question.
And once again, I think you hit the nail on the head that it's an individual type question. And are we continuing to ask that question of ourselves as individuals? And what about ourselves and our lives do we need to change to have, you know, that be the motive of being happier and more in balance and healthier? And
that's exactly right.
And that's exactly what this forum is about.
Exactly.
So who is the facilitator leading this panel on the 19th?
His name is John Moore. He's a well-known author and psychotherapist. He's based here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
If you go online, you can find his stuff. So he's leading the forum.
Mm-hmm.
He's facilitating. And then we have three different men from the community who will be on the panel: Kylon Hooks, Keith Ecker, and Ed Negron.
Mm-hmm.
And each will be representing sort of a different aspect. One of the guys is single and happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy is in a monogamous relationship that he considers healthy and he's happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third guy is in an open relationship that is healthy and he's happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to hear from these guys, like, you know, how, you know, being single, we don't want to get caught in the trap like you have to have a boyfriend to be happy.
Yeah.
So How do you stay happy as a single guy? Like, what does that mean for you?
Mm-hmm.
In a monogamous relationship, how do you negotiate that? And how do you make sure that you both really want that and you're both getting what you want in that situation? Same thing with the open. People think like negotiating an open relationship is harder or more complex than negotiating monogamy. They're both the same.
Yeah.
They both require, like you said, you hit the nail on the head, constant check-ins, communication, really being in touch with what your feelings are and what your needs are and balancing that with the other person that you're involved with. That's what it's all about. And then these other particulars get thrown in. So, again, in the monogamous situation, how do you make sure you both want that?
Right.
You know, in studies where men are, you know, some men in monogamous relationships, you ask one who says, yes, we both totally agree on this. It's a great thing. And the other one says, well, you know, I would kind of like a little more flexibility here. So we can also make assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get into what you mentioned before as well, when you don't communicate and you stuff things. And are you doing things just for the status quo?
Mm-hmm.
Are you in this type of relationship just because it's comfortable and you know it, but you're not really getting your needs met?
Yeah.
And we want to make sure, we want to help people just think about, what is it that you want? And are you going about it in a way to get those needs met, or are you going about it in a way that isn't helping get those needs met?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great conversation. As I said, we could do a whole week on this, but you can do some hours at rehab with a cocktail and a bunch of guys and some gals, I'm sure. Love mm-hmm. in the Age of Grindr, Gay Men and Hooking Up, Shacking Up, Relationships and Intimacy. It's all happening one night only, May 19th from 6 to 9 o'clock at Rehab. That's the front bar of Circuit Nightclub at 3641 North Halsted. And if you want information about it, you can check out the ad in Night Spots magazine. You can also check out the website for all kinds of information for gay men on staying healthy and sexy at lifelube.org. And they would love it if you'd RSVP if you're coming at the website as well, lifelube.org. We'll have that website linked in our show notes. Jim, thanks so much for being on with us and continuing to just have a wealth of resources there at LifeLube.
Thank you, Amy. It's a pleasure.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. So, Stephen, thanks so much for being on with me. And we're going to have to do some sort of post-theatrical, post-theater podcast sometime real soon.
We do. No, we do have studios, too.
We haven't kind of strolled down the lane.
I didn't know what you were going to say. I thought you were going to say, we have to do some post-Manhunt thing. I thought you were going to go with the Manhunt.
We could do that.
God, Amy on Manhunt. That'd be hilarious.
That would be a funny exercise. What would be my screen name?
I Oh, the mind reels with
how many names do you think you've had as screen names?
To me?
Yes.
To me,
just
you. You're a dangerous woman. I just recently decided, okay, writer, you know, you've got this damn name everywhere. So let's change it up a bit. Let's find mm-hmm. something new. Yeah, and you find some different things. But it's so funny that people who it's sort of like the guy who you know, and this is prevalent in our community, who decided, I've got an AOL screen name, because that was the 80s or the 90s, and
mm-hmm.
so it's, you know, Phantom of the Opera Boy, 44.
Yeah.
That carries with them, if it's their Amazon site or whatever site they log into,
mm-hmm.
that's their name. And you can do a Google search for that name and find it all over the place. It's
how
insane how you can find
that?
People's stuff. So I like tracking people like that. I'm a little bit of a...
Yeah.
Of a Nazi when it comes to that.
Well, I've never had a screen name, so I'd like to for you to come up with one for me.
Really? Really?
And then I think we should come up with one for me.
Oh, I love it.
I'm going to let you come up with one for me and Deb Pierce come up with one for me.
Oh, my God. I think there's so many possibilities. I think, you know, and I helped. I think that'd be a good one for you.
Ooh, and I helped. I love that.
Well, good for you. Good. Talking to you, darling.
Good talking to you, and everybody have a great week. Come out and see us at SoFo for Windy City Gay Idol on the 13th.
Amen.
And don't forget that if Lakeview's more your speed, we're going to be at the North End on the 18th, Tuesday the 18th, for the first time ever at the North End with Windy City Gay Idol. And And then you'll have the opportunity to go and check out Love in the Age of Grindr the following night. So, everybody, I hope you have a great week. We're glad that you're here with us. And once again, don't forget to, if you're on the Facebook, join Deb Pierce's Facebook page and show your support.
Amen.
So, have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.